Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. We're going to be talking about an area of communication that I believe causes more conflict than almost anything you can imagine, and it's where a person in their own heart and mind thinks that they know what you really mean. And I'm telling you, you're going to learn some of the most basic things about how to avoid conflict, how to avoid arguments, how to keep from having offense grow up between you and somebody else, and how to have great communication that really means something. Now listen, if you want to get this broadcast in its entirety, go to www.impactministries.com and you can watch all of these programs on Secret Signals. And I'm going to tell you something, you're going to get tools that you can use for real life. Because whether you know it or not, you're always sending communication signals that are more powerful than the words that you're speaking. And I want to help you understand what they are and help you understand how to take control of those so you can say what you mean to say. You know, whether you realize it or not, you are always sending secret or silent signals. And what we understand about communication is the fact that the signals that you send are more powerful than the words you speak. In fact, studies show that when there's a conflict between the signals that you send and the words that you speak, people always believe the signals. In Secret Signals, I'm going to give you the tools to know how to have the most incredible communication that you've ever had. You know, one of the things that always amazes me is that there are a few key factors that if we get those key factors, those critical factors, if we get them right, it's like a domino effect that causes so many other things to go right in our lives. As a matter of fact, there's a series that I teach called Critical Factors, where if you can just identify the critical factors, you don't have to be great at everything, but be great at a few things, and those few things will affect so much of your life. It's like the 80-20 rule. Most of you have heard of the 80-20 rule. 80-20 rule says that there's 20% of your effort that produces 80% of your desired results. Well, I want to tell you something. One of the critical factors, one of the 80-20 factors, is learning how to communicate. And it's amazing that people resist this so very much. And I'll tell you why people resist it so much, is because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it is the reason it's so hard to influence and take control of your words is because ultimately you're going to have to influence your heart if you want this to happen effortlessly. Otherwise, you're just always intellectually, mentally trying to control what you say. But you know what? Learning to control what you say is better than nothing. It's a great starting place. Something I've noticed is that in businesses and doing consulting with businesses, I have found that businesses very often promote the wrong people. They don't really promote their producers. They don't really promote the people that do the best work. What they tend to do is to promote the people that talk the best game, or sometimes just really, really good communicators. And so quality people get passed over many times because they do not have good communication skills. And in fact, As somebody who has been in business for myself now for almost a half a century, I have discovered that some of your very best technical people, that one of their tendencies is not to communicate very well or very openly. Therefore, they get passed over. And so when you learn how to communicate effectively, I want to tell you something. It will be you who will start getting the raises and promotions. You know, in our leadership training that we have teaching people how to be leaders, we would have people go through that. And one of the promises we always made to people is if you serve anywhere in our church, The training that we're going to give you is going to cause you to be successful outside of the church. And personally, I think that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'll tell you, we used to get so many testimonies of people who had been stuck. They hadn't got a raise or a promotion in forever. And they would begin to learn some of these communication secrets. And suddenly, even though their work didn't improve, their communication improved. And when their communication improved, it changed the perception that the bosses had of them. And they would get the raises and promotion. In fact, in marriage counseling, you know, if we could just get people to start communicating according to God's principles, man, I'm telling you, almost all marriage problems would be resolved. I'm talking about problems between people who want their marriages to work. People who want their marriages to work are usually trying hard at the wrong things. And one of the things they tend to leave out when they're trying as hard as they can try is they leave out God's principles of communication. You know, basically what I'm saying to you is that almost all conflict is based on or exacerbated by poor communication. And that when we develop the ability to communicate effectively, when we start understanding the signals that we're sending to people, everything changes. And the key is you want to get the words that you speak and the silent signals that you're sending, facial expressions, tone of voice, all of those kinds of things. You want to get all of those things consistent and harmonious, and people will understand then what you're saying. There won't be a lot of misunderstandings. But now today we're going to talk about how to avoid not only conflict in communication, but how to avoid a lot of hurt, unnecessary hurt and unnecessary pain that comes from ineffective communication. Now, most of this is based on my book, How to Stop the Pain, which is a best-selling book that I'm telling you, I get testimonies every week almost about people whose lives are being transformed by putting these principles into effect. Counselors all over the country, and actually other countries, are using principles in this book to teach their clients how to avoid pain and how to have more meaningful communication. Because you see, most of the conflict and misunderstanding that we have in communication is based on our tendency to pass judgment. It's not really based on what the other person says or what the other person does. It's because when we get into communication with other people, we tend to go into this communication usually with our mind made up. You know, it's amazing. Not many people really seek to know what the truth is. When there's tension between two people, most of the time, people come into that situation, like I say, not seeking to know the truth, but coming into that situation with an opinion about what the truth is and trying to prove that their opinion is right. I want to tell you something. The ego is a powerful thing, and the ego, the way that our ego works that in such a way that we have to prove our opinions to be right, and that's how and why we get so stuck in so many negative situations and can't get out of them. It's because we're not interested in discovering the truth. We're interested in proving our opinion to be the truth. Therefore, we don't listen. Now, the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, tells us this. In verse 1, it says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Now, judgment, we do two wrong things with this passage of Scripture. One of the first things we do is we falsely assume that judgment is when we say somebody's doing something wrong. That's not judgment. You know, if a person is lying and you say you're lying, that's not a judgment. Now, it's a judgment if you don't know they're lying. Or when a person is being hateful, you don't know why they're being hateful, but you know they're being hateful. And so we have convoluted our communication down to where if you even sometimes even challenge somebody about okay, you know, you're talking hateful to me, then they're going to say, well, no, you're judging me. No, that's not judgment. You know, judgment came into the world in the garden through Adam and Eve, basically around the idea of man determining good and evil for himself. So part of the process of determining good and evil is to assume to know why somebody does something, because basically, if they do it for the right reasons in our carnal mind, then that makes it good. If they do it for the wrong reasons, then that makes it bad. So one of the most functional ways that we pass judgments on other people is when we assume to know why they do what they do. So the first problem is we don't understand even when we're passing judgment. And then the second problem is, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes, it says, judge not that you be not judged. We think that when we judge, that that's talking about God judging us. You see, we are so egotistical, we think that our behavior and our character or lack thereof can change the behavior and the character of God. It doesn't. God's character doesn't change just because our character changed. And so when we judge other people, that doesn't make God judge us. Or at least let me put it this way. That's not what this passage of scripture is saying right here. And you'll see this in just a moment. And it's important that you see this if you want to get to where you have meaningful, powerful, effective communication. So remember, judgment assumes to know why you do what you do, or why you say what you say, or the real reason, or what you really meant. I know what you really meant by that. Now, the moment we go to the place of judgment, something happens literally in our brain. And some medical people say this because of the reticular activating system, where we then go into a selective processing mode. Once we've passed a judgment, then we tend to only see and hear those things that in our mind confirm our judgment and prove that it's true. So the moment we pass a judgment, the dynamics of all communication starts changing. Now, Matthew 7:2 says this, With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And it goes and says, and the measure you meet, it will be measured unto you. Now, again, this is not talking about I'm judging and God's doing something back to me. This passage of scripture is talking about the fact that when I judge other people, that judgment comes back to me. Now, I'll show you this. I want to make sure you understand this. In Luke 6:35, is a parallel scripture where Jesus was teaching the same thing. And in verse 35, he says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and this is right there in that passage, judge not that you be not judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Now, if we stop right there, we could say, yeah, see, that's still talking about God. But verse 38 in Luke 6 says, give what? Well, in context, and give judgment or give mercy. Give kindness or give criticalness. Whatever you give, it says, give, and it shall be given to you. Press down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. So we start understanding that when we judge, we cause judgment to come back to us, because people are going to give us back what we're giving to them. Whenever we're critical, people are going to come back and be critical of us. Whenever we're merciful, people are going to tend to come back and be merciful with us. Not all the time. None of this works 100% of the time, but these are universal laws of communication. Now, what tends to happen whenever we are in a conversation with somebody, and this is one of the reasons we don't solve any real conflicts, because most of the time when we're in a conversation with somebody, they say something, and when they say something, we assume to know what they really meant. Or maybe the look on their face. I remember one time I was working on something with the Alabama state legislatures, and there was a girl I was relying on to help me, and she and I were standing right back here in the back of the auditorium one day talking, and she told me something that was just totally inconsistent with everything we had been trying to accomplish. And I raised up one of my eyebrows, which I do sometimes when I'm questioning something, and looked at her like, what are you talking about? From that day forward, she hated me. From that day forward, she swore that I hated her. And she based it all on what that meant, that I made this facial expression whenever she told me what she told me. Now, remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7:2, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So if I'm listening to you and I measure judgment out and I assume to know what it is that you mean by what you're saying, then that affects me not based on what you meant, but that affects me based on how I measured it, how I judged it. So I'm not really being affected by your words as much as I am being affected by my judgments about your words. So what happens, and this happens in married couples all the time, they never deal with their real issues because they pass so many judgments about what the other person means or what the other person is trying to do. They pass so many judgments, and offenses start building up and going back and forth because one person is passing judgment, the other person is passing. And just like this girl I'm telling you about, I mean, eventually it blew her out of our church. Eventually she ended up in some things that were really spiritually very psychotic, if you want to know the truth. And she destroyed some other people's lives all based on her judgment about what that facial expression meant. Now, she could have asked me what it meant. Man, isn't that a concept? You see, we don't have the right to assume what the other person means. We don't have the right to assume their real intentions. But we do have the right to say, I am confused about what you meant by that. You know, we can even say, when you said this, I felt this way. We really shouldn't say you made me feel this way, because nobody makes us feel anyway. We make ourselves feel a certain way based on how we judge, how we measure out, and how we relate to what that other person says. And so you know, we could say, you know, when you said this, I felt like you were angry at me. Or when you said this, I felt like you were, you know, were trying to put me down. Or when you said this, this really embarrassed me and made me feel like nothing. Now I have stated what I felt, not what you intended. And then I can say, was that your intention to make me feel that way? Is that what you wanted to communicate to me? See, I can ask a question. Now, this gives this other person a chance to get in touch with reality. You see, they might not even realize, just like when I made that facial expression, I can promise you, I didn't even realize I was making a facial expression. She just caught me off guard, and I was so surprised that I made a facial expression. And, you know, she could have right at that moment just said, man, you look like you're mad. Are you upset with me? And that would have given me a chance to go, I am so sorry. You know, I was just taken off guard. I am surprised, but no, I'm not mad at you. And a whole lot of pain for her family, and for some of the people that she hurt could have ended right there. But instead, she was affected by her judgment. In other words, her judgment altered reality. She no longer experienced reality. She experienced a perceived reality based on her judgment. Man, oh man, oh man. This happens every single day. You know, and a wonderful thing that happens whenever we're willing to say to a person, now this is how it makes me feel when you do this, we can discover real quickly if they care about our feelings. You know, when I used to do premarital counseling, about 50% of the people that went through my premarital counseling ended up not getting married. And, you know, I considered that a real success because those were people who would have gotten married. They would have fought for years. They would have hurt and destroyed each other and then probably ended up in divorce. Now, I never told people not to get married. That was never it. In our premarital counseling, we would define what love is right in the very first session. I would have them listen to a series about love. And after they would listen to a series about love, they would understand that love, you know, is based on what God says love is, and that love has these attributes. But more than anything else, love is where you're seeking to make that other person feel valuable or special or feel held in high regard. And so now we have a definition of love. And so if we're saying we love each other, and if we have an agreed definition of love, then when you communicate to me or I communicate to you in a way that does not reflect value, then that gives either one of us the right to say, what do you mean by this? And if we had that right, and if we had the right to say, well, this, when you do this, I'm not saying this is what you mean, but I'm saying when you do this, this is how I feel. And that may even be my stuff, but it's important for you to know how this makes me feel. Now, if that person really wants to convey value and preciousness and that sort of thing, then they're not going to justify themselves and say, well, get over it. You know, that's not what I mean. Just grow up and you know, you deal with it because it's your problem. That's not what I mean. No, they're going to say, I want you to feel valuable and precious. And if this makes you feel unvalued, if this makes you feel like nothing, if this makes you feel unappreciated, then this is something I'm going to stop doing. Man alive, you're talking about bringing incredible preciousness and love and value and wholeness to a relationship. But when you express to a person, this is how this makes me feel, and they keep doing it, one of the things you know is they love themselves more than they love you. Now, there's a law of communication that was in the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And I'll tell you this, I'll never forget the first time I saw this, I realized, man, this was a precious gem. It said, always seek to understand before seeking to be understood. So you see, when you say something and I come back and I'm saying, I might have misunderstood, did you mean this? The fact that I'm seeking to understand kind of takes the fight out of it. I'm not judging you. I'm not telling you what you really meant. I'm not telling you you're a bad person. I'm just saying this is how I felt. I want to understand what you meant. When we seek to understand that other person, then they feel like we're open to them. They feel like it's safe to communicate to us. But our intention usually is, I'm going to make you understand me. I want to make you understand all the reasons I felt this way. I want to make you understand all my judgments about you. When we try to force other people to understand us first, we are saying, I don't care about you. I don't care about what truth is. I don't care what your intentions are. I just want you to understand me, and I want you to do what I want. But I want to tell you something. When we seek to understand, then we're able to get the information from that other person that we need. We're able to let go of judgment. And the minute that we let go of judgment, then we are free from the pain. Understand something. When you pass a judgment, then you give something significance. You determine how significant it is in your life. And it is the significance that you attach to something that gives it power and that determines how it's going to affect you. And the only way to stay free from a life of pain and torment is to give up what you think is the right to pass judgments. Listen, come back just a moment. I want to talk to you in my mentoring moment. I've got some important things to share with you. Man, I hope you're going to join me in some of these live meetings that we're having across the country. It's just such a powerful thing that happens when we're all together. September the 11th through the 14th, I'm going to be with Grace United Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I hope you'll come out for that. September the 23rd through the 25th, Safe Harbor Fellowship of Ministers is coming together in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Man, if you're a leader, you'll probably want to attend that, especially if you're a leader who's walking in grace, wants to win the world, serious about God. And then I'm going to be in Chicago October the 10th through the 12th at Destined to Win Church. But don't forget the big event, October the 17th through the 19th. We're going to be having an advanced heart physics for health and healing right here in Huntsville, Alabama. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be sharing some of the heart physics principles that are going to show you how to walk in divine health, how to walk out of sickness. You know, I've faced a lot of sickness, and I've walked out of it, and I'm going to be sharing all these principles. I'm going to show you how to influence your heart for health and healing. This month, we've got an incredible special offer for you. If you order the series, Secret Signals, not only are you going to learn how to communicate in one of the most effective ways possible, but you're also going to get a free download called Speaking and Listening, The Art of Communication. I love that series. It is so transforming. Plus, you're going to get the wisdom for communication from the book of Proverbs and a homework assignment about what you can do to develop your communication skills so you can accomplish what you want to accomplish. You know, one of the most important things that you can do starting today is to choose to give up what you believe is the right to pass judgment. Now, I'm telling you, when you do this, you're going to realize that 1,000 times a day, you're going to be assuming to know why people are doing what they're doing or what you think they really, really mean. And the moment you do that, you need to stop and apologize to the other person if it's come out your mouth. Say, I'm sorry, you know what, I'm assuming to know what you mean. I don't know. Why don't you just tell me what you really mean? And if you make this journey, and in your heart you commit to the Lord that you want this to be your character and your integrity, and I'm telling you something, you'll make a journey that's going to change your world. There's something I want you to remember. Matthew 7:3 says this. It says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? So I want you to realize something. Your judgment, when you judge, you are making yourself God of that realm because only God has the right to judge. And so no matter what that other person has done or no matter what you think they have done, when it comes to true destructive spiritual principles, your judgment is probably more wicked than any sin they are committing or that you think that they're committing. So give up the right to judge. Realize that judgment is wicked and that judgment is you trying to be God and control the realm that you're in. And remember, when you don't know what somebody meant, just ask them a question. In fact, learning to ask questions is one of the greatest keys to communication. I used to have a friend that would just ask you a blue million questions every time you had a conversation with him about anything. And I would always say, why do you ask so many questions? And he would say, I already know what I know, but I don't know what you know. Well, unless you want to spend your life just knowing what you already know, then you're going to have to ask questions. And I'll tell you what, asking questions in a non-condemning, non-attacking way is one of the greatest communication tools that there is. It shows respect and honor and value for the other person's opinion, and it makes them want to open up to you. Learn to ask questions and learn to express how something made you feel.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.